So Advent is underway with this first Sunday in Advent. Advent means a coming or arrival, as I mentioned earlier. It is the season for looking back at the amazing arrival of Jesus Christ, God himself veiled in flesh. It is also the season, and this tends to be a fairly well-kept secret in many churches, for looking forward to the second coming, the arrival yet to happen, promised by Jesus several times, like in the encounter remembered in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, that we're going to look at in just a moment. The theme that I've chosen for this Advent season is an adventurer's guide to Christmas. And in this case, what I'm going to ask us to remember is that being an adventurer is a good thing, but it's not the best thing. And here's what I mean, and I've given you this quote. This is sort of a distillation of some thoughts that have come through Tim Keller. I think he got them from other people. But this is actually part of your welcome to our Advent devotional guide for 2018. But let me quote it here. It has been said that an adventure is an exciting thing you choose. You go and you have your adventure with all its thrills, and it spices up your life, and then you come home again, and you pick things up where you left off. It is a there and back again sort of thing. A quest, on the other hand, is quite different. It is not something you choose, it chooses you. And you never really come back from it. You either die for the quest, or if you do come back, you are so changed that you cannot simply pick things up where you left off. You have been changed radically. Returning to what was your normal life is no longer an option. You have become, in a very real sense, a new person. So we're going to look during this Advent season at various scriptures, and we're going to look through the grid of an adventurer's guide. An adventurer's guide being for someone that wants to have a thrilling thing, do something fun, but pretty much just go back to life per normal when you're done with it, versus the Christmas quest, the reality of Christmas that gets a hold of people and makes them into different, new people. Now, at the outset, I want us to all realize that adventures are safer in some sense. You can always come back from an adventure. They're like thrilling vacations. They enhance your life without changing it. They provide my best life, using Gabe's phrase from a couple of weeks ago. I really like that one. My best life decorations while leaving your character untouched. The point is, you can always, must always, go back to, quote, real life. Does this describe your, my, our Christmas experience each year? A ship is safe in the harbor, some anonymous person once said, but that is not what ships are made for. Or here's another one. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people together to collect wood and don't assign them tasks and work, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. Adventures are safer, but quests are better for us, even if they kill us. They make for a life that is not safer, but is healthier, more fruitful, more faithful, and more fulfilling. Adventures are safer, but we are made for the quest. When it comes to adventures and quests, ours, it seems to me, is a culture for cowards. And you can quote me on that. Ours is a culture for cowards. We are encouraged to enjoy adventures and to make everything an adventure. Even things that are supposed to be and actually are, life-shaping, no-going-back quests. Look around these days, and you will be encouraged to see yourself as a free and radically independent individual, never fully given to or directed by anyone or anything else. You will see people trying always to keep their options open, to keep their escape routes clear, to be ever ready and able to, quote, go back to their real life. Let me give you a couple of examples that I see around us in our modern, enlightened, progressive culture. How about modern American marriage adventures? Enjoy the adventure. And if it doesn't work out, let's go back to your real life. That ain't marriage. And if you buy what the culture tells you and models for you about that, you're going to impoverish yourself and everybody around you. Marriage is a quest. It may kill you. But it will be good for you. Here's another example. How about our lives themselves? They're a quest. You don't go back. There are no do-overs. There is no extra lives or player two. It's a quest. And if we think it's just an adventure where we can kind of dip in and dip back out, we'll find we're on a not-so-good quest. So here's our plan for our messages in our Christmas quest here in 2018. First, listen to the Word of God. And we're going to use as a guide as we move through God's Word together a great resource for those who would make this year's Christmas season less another annual adventure and more part of a life-changing quest. Here's our guide. It's our Advent devotional guide. We're going to follow along with our Advent devotional guide. Each Sunday, we're going to use the texts that are here in our devotional guide for that Sunday. Today we're going to look at Matthew 24 because Matthew 24 is the text for today. Next week it's Malachi. And you know I'm using this as a guide if I'm selecting Malachi. I'm submitting to the discipline of our devotional guide. Most people don't jump to Malachi during the Christmas season, just saying. But it has some things to tell us. So listen to the Word of God, and we're going to use our Advent devotional guides as a guide for us through the Scriptures on Sundays. And then second, hear the adventurer's advice. And I'll try to offer some adventurer's advice each week. How to just be an adventurer if you want. By the way, just up front, I'm going to be using ironic tone. Being just an adventurer is not what I'm commending, but I'm trying to help us to see what it looks like if you're just an adventurer. And I'll give you some advice if you want to just be an adventurer, but I'm hoping you won't follow that advice, okay? I just want to be very clear about that up front. I'll remind you along the way. But here are the adventurer's advice, how to enjoy Christmas this year with its joyful festivities and otherworldly ideals, and then get back to your life like it was in September before Christmas got underway. You caught the humor there? Thank you. In September, before Christmas got under... Okay. All right. Then, third, listen for God's call to His life-changing Christmas quest. And finally, ask yourself, week by week, if you will take the risk and give yourself to this quest. This quest, which will surely cost you dearly, and may even kill you, but which will make you fit for the company of angels. Let's look at our text for today. Excerpts out of Matthew 24. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's a long chapter, and I think we can get the gist of it by reading the parts that are in our Advent devotional guide. So I'm going to turn to December 2nd and share with you the scripture that is there. Matthew 24. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him, Jesus, privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. Then if anyone says to you," verse 23, "'Look, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. So if they say to you, 'Look, he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. If they say, 'Look, he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines as far as the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Verse 36, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you will help us to understand these things in a way that makes a difference, that's part of our life quest with you. As we cooperate with you, as you do your work in us and through us and for us, making us into the people that you have created us to be. People who are going to be different after this Christmas season than they were before. And I pray all this in your name and for your sake. Amen. So here is the essence of what Jesus said before he left the first time about his return as recorded in Matthew 24. And I want you to note especially the certainties and the uncertainties. Concerning his second advent, return to earth, Jesus clearly told us three things that we see here. One, it will certainly happen. He is going to come back. Two, we will remain uncertain about when. And three, when it happens, we will be certain of it. Mr. Dan's devotional thoughts conclude in our reading for today with a clear call to choose one of two ways to approach our calendar of devotions, and indeed the entirety of this Christmas season. He says this, and if you haven't read it yet, grab a devotional and take a look. This is what he says at the end. These verses talk about Christ's second coming and the life-changing need for preparation. Advent is also about the need for preparation. There are 22 days of preparation left this season. 22 days to say, "Yeah, whatever." Or, "Wow, thanks." So are we going to be there and back again? Yeah, whatever. Adventurers? Or part of the called and committed, wow, thanks, quest? So here's some advice for the adventurer. You ready? Don't take notes. Number one, you want to be an adventurer, you want to be have some here's your guide for the Christmas adventurer. First, ignore Second Advent. I have to little parenthetical remark. In some of my research for this message today, one of my old pastors, Daryl Johnson, I don't know if it was one of his sermons or a book that he wrote, but he said this, that he found it interesting. He'd done a survey, and that every single book that tells you how to do church in such a way that you'll experience growth, and there's a lot of those books out there. You know, if you want to grow, if you want to do things right, if you want to be a more entrepreneurial church, if you want to have a greater impact on your culture, if you want to get more people from out there in here, here's what you need to do. And he said he looked at a whole bunch of these kind of books, and not one single one ever referred in any way, shape, or form to the second coming of Jesus. The fact that Jesus is coming back played no part in how to do church really well and successfully within our culture, which I find rather interesting. Sounds like a lot of people that are being encouraged to have a really, really, really good and fruitful Christmas Christian adventure as a church. Just throwing that out there. But here you go. Ignore Second Advent. Locate yourself practically after Jesus. Thanks for all you did. We couldn't ask for a better ex-Lord. We'll take it from here. Locate yourself then in the illusion of our practically permanent present. The clock is struck. Jesus has done his work, and here we are. And we're supposed to do it, and we can do it, and we are doing it. And locate yourself then in his fantastic, fading future. Not on the radar. It's our practically permanent present that matters. Then second, along with ignoring Second Advent, focus on the Christmas uncertainties, especially the timing of Jesus' return. To keep what is true and certain from truly dawning upon you with full power, thus keeping the illusion of your absolute control over your unchanging life intact. It seems to me that when we allow ourselves as followers of Jesus to overemphasize our ability to know the future, to know when he's coming back, one of the things that does is it protects us from his claims that rise out of the certainties of what he tells us. If we know that Jesus isn't coming back until certain things happen, then we don't have to pay a whole lot of attention to him in our lives right now. We don't have to pay much attention until we hear the alarm go off. And that hasn't happened. And it isn't going to happen until whatever the latest book says. So you can not be serious about Jesus in your life right now, because you don't have to get serious until these other things happen. In a sense, you can live in relationship to these signs that are going to happen sometime in the future instead of living in relationship to Jesus. Do you see that? I think that's one of the unfortunate benefits, actually liabilities, of overemphasizing our ability to predict the return of Jesus. We pretend then, by focusing on these Christmas uncertainties, we pretend control over them. Construct a system, make a chart, put up billboards. We seek and manufacture certainty out of what is meant to remain uncertain, so that we can return with false confidence in our own wise predictive abilities and personal powers to normal control of our uninterrupted lives. We then can ignore or disable what is certain, the fact of Jesus' return, and the assurance that when it happens, we will know it. So that it appears as an uncertainty in our lives. Is Jesus really coming back? Yeah, whatever. Yeah, he said it, but we're not seeing it, so let's just live in the present. So we then locate ourselves after Jesus, but then also before the signs of Jesus. We'll keep sleeping until we hear the alarm. Now that's advice for those that want to be adventurers this Christmas again. But here's the way of the quest. Remember both Advents. Let our present be informed and empowered by the realities of both the past and the future comings of Jesus. Locate yourself not after Jesus and not before the signs of Jesus. Locate yourself, now you can start taking notes. Locate yourself in Jesus. We'll embrace in each present moment our secure hope in Him and keep watch within our insecure times. Locate yourself then in the reality of our precarious and passing present. The clock is ticking. And in His firm and forever future. You probably have heard it said, those who ignore history are doomed to repeat it. You've heard that phrase before, that bit of wisdom. It's good, but here's another one. Those who ignore the future are prisoners of the present. Trust and emphasize the Christmas certainties. Live out of what by faith we know from Jesus is certain. The one who came is the one who will come again. And when He comes, we will know it. Jesus said we will know it as surely as we know when lightning splits the night sky. Any confusion about that? I mean, when we get a lightning storm at night and you look up in the sky, any confusion about whether there's really a storm when you look in the sky and the lightning cracks and people see it from east and west? Jesus said His coming would be like that. So if somebody whispers to you, Jesus actually has already returned and He's living in the middle of Iran somewhere. That one's been out there, I think. Is that how a lightning storm works? Your neighbor comes over, taps quietly on your door. You open up the door a crack and your neighbor says, there's a lightning storm. Oh, thanks for telling me. No! You don't need that. You just have to look up. Jesus says when He comes back, it's going to be like that. So, as a follower of Christ, if you're not sure if He's returned, He hasn't. He hasn't. So you live out of what we know by faith from Jesus is certain, and we let the uncertainties remain so. The uncertainties remain so. Thus avoiding self-centered resilience against God's present work and guidance. Hey, I don't need to worry about those things because I can wait until I see the signs. Thus, we fuel daily vigilance by faith. The signs have been happening for 2,000 years. Can I say that again? The signs have been happening for 2,000 years. Jesus can come back any time. Today could be the day. I'm sort of hoping He'll let us get through our Advent devotional booklet, but if He doesn't, that's okay with me. And by the way, He probably doesn't care whether it's okay with me or not. Living this way makes us a faithful watcher for Jesus, thus knowing and experiencing the certainty of life change, real renewal, and healthy growth in Christ. What Jesus commanded before he left the first time points us not to another holiday adventure chosen by us, but to the quest, the Christmas quest that has chosen us in this in-between time in which we live, in between the first and second advents of Jesus. Here again is a summary of what Jesus commanded his followers in Matthew 24. Don't believe I have returned or am about to return just because somebody loudly and boldly says so. Count on me to tell you loudly and boldly when that time has come. And stay awake. Stay spiritually awake. Keep watch. Be ready. How do we stay ready, spiritually awake, keeping watch? Well, in this ultra-busy season, let me suggest a few things. Keep your eyes on Jesus. As Mr. Dan said in his devotional today, keep your nose in his word. Keep your ears attentive to his truths. And keep your mind attentive to the realities that he has given us. Fear not, for I'm coming, and when I do, it will be more than obvious to all my people. And here is a useful tool for doing just these things. Our 2018 Advent devotional booklet. And lest you think that this is sort of a shameless, you know, plug for these books that we're selling. First of all, we're not selling them. We're giving them away. And secondly, and by far most importantly, all these booklets are doing at their very best is pointing you to God's Word. Every single day has a reading from God's Word and people just like you that are just reflecting on God's Word. It all goes back to God's Word. It's not about what I say or any other, or Mr. Dan says or any of the other writers say. It is about what God has said. And folks are just trying to help you through the grid of their own thoughts and their own lives and their own wisdom and their own relationship with God and their own reality of being on the quest with Jesus. They're just trying to help you get in touch with what's in God's Word. Warning. From this Christmas quest, there is no going back to your previous life. You are called to stick with this quest. You are meant to die in this quest and for this quest. And then to rise to life glorious and eternal. What do you say? You ready? You ready for what God has for you, even in this Christmas season? Pray. Ask God to do something amazing for you through this Christmas season. Ask God to do something amazing in you. Ask Him to help you to see beyond the superficial realities that we're entering into, to see His presence, to see His power, to see His grace, to see His love for you and through you for others. Yeah? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for this season. This season of special activity, of family gatherings, of special remembrances. Lord, I thank you for this season when even our culture and even people all around us who know nothing of you, want nothing to do with you, even they are attentive to the reality of your coming, your birth in Bethlehem. Even in the malls, we can hear on occasion songs that speak of your goodness and grace and love and power and coming. Thank you for this wonderful season. And Lord, I thank you for your presence and power and will for each of our lives. And Lord, I pray for us, each of us, all of us as a church and each of us as your followers, that we would see ourselves anew and afresh as those that are on a grand quest, a life quest, a faith quest, a victorious quest with you to defeat all that is evil and holds us back and holds our world back from you, and to embrace and to know and to embody and to manifest who you are and what you are doing, your work of redemption, healing, salvation in your world. And I pray all these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.